FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and it's May 30th, 2017, just after the Memorial Day weekend. So this is a perfect time to hear the message of Mark Bowser. Mark, you're a noted author, president and CEO of Empowering Enterprises, and corporate training expert. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Kerry. It's good to be able to be with you today.
All right. So first, if you got any questions, comments on this show or others, send us an email to kl@kerrylutz.com. And Mark, hey, we're thrilled to have you on here. Looking at your site and looking at the work you've done in the past, well, today we're talking about avoiding procrastination, and I'm sure you know it well. Your intentions are great. You want to do something and you just can't do it. You'll put it off for tomorrow and tomorrow, tomorrow, and tomorrow never comes. So Mark, what do we do about procrastination? How do you address it? How do you overcome it? Or how do you avoid it altogether?
Well, Kerry, I think first of all, your listeners, we all have to understand is that we're not alone. Procrastination happens to the best of us. It happens to all of us. And so that's the first thing. We're not in that unique little realm where we are the loser because we procrastinate. Everybody procrastinates. When I deal with salespeople or I'm dealing with writers, everybody procrastinates. So how do we conquer that? Well, the first thing I think we have to understand is where it comes from. It comes from a fear of the unknown. It's a fear of we're not knowing what to expect if we start this project. We don't know what it's going to look like in the end game. And so I think that's the first biggest part is understanding that it comes from fear. When I feel that fear, that I always go back to is a quote that Ralph Waldo Emerson had. And he said, do the thing you fear and the death of fear is certain. So in other words, just start. If we just start the project, the book, the whatever it is that you're working on, that begins to take us to that next level. The second thing that I think about is once we start is don't worry about the end game. Yes, I believe like Dr. Stephen Covey believed that you have to begin with the end in mind. I'm all about seeing where you're headed and knowing where you're going. But when you start the project, you have to think about the present. And I think about it as living in a now compartment. And what a now compartment is it's kind of like when you think about it, Kerry, is you think about a submarine or you think about a ship, they're separated into compartments. They're watertight compartments. And so that if it's they hit an iceberg, for example, or spring a leak, they can actually close off that compartment and the rest of the ship stays afloat and doesn't go down like the Titanic because they're in a watertight compartment. So I think about a now compartment is that you think about the present. What are you working on right this moment? Don't think too far ahead during the moment and you keep working towards that. And I think those are the first two things that people have to think about is it's caused procrastination, it's caused by the fear of the unknown, and it's that keeps us from starting. And if we just start and think about the present, that'll take us a long way right there.
Yeah, so stay centered in the present, and I guess it comes down to do it one step at a time. Don't look. So if it's a very complex, long, involved project, or as our Canadian listeners like to say, or Canadian friends, project, you got to start with one task at a time. Focus on that rather than getting involved in how hard this thing's going to be.
Absolutely, because many times we get caught up in procrastination because we don't know what the end game will look like. We know where we want to go, but we don't know the road to get us there. Well, sometimes it's none of our business to know the road to get us there at the beginning. Sometimes we're going on a road trip and all of a sudden they change the roads on us because of construction. So we have to go a different path. We still know our destination, but the path may change. And so I think all of us, we have to not worry about the path so much because you're not going to know every step of the game at the tip-off. Mm-hmm. Every coach, if they had could see with prophecy and see the end game and see what the last 2 minutes was going to look like, they'd win almost every game. But they can't. So they call those timeouts in the middle of the game in order to process what just happened so they can figure out where to go. We have to do the same thing with the project. We just keep playing the game, but we change the courses necessary based on the circumstances that happen during the game.
Right.
Does that make sense, Kerry?
Yeah. So I guess comes down to also, if I could paraphrase you a little bit, it really comes down to the journey, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And we're going to spend 99% of our time in that journey. And so procrastination is just something that gets you off the journey. And so if you can stay in the game, then we are a long way further down the path than 99% of the people out there. Most people don't overcome their procrastination, and most people are not as effective as they could be because they get stuck somewhere.
Yeah. So it's about being effective, about compartmentalizing, and about the focus on where you're at right now, rather than worrying about completing the journey, worry about making the first step.
Absolutely. And then I think along the way is where the confidence is built is some certain little tips along the way that we can do. For example, one is today we call it the fake it till you make it. And everybody's heard fake it till you make it. And we think, yeah, that's an old cliche. But that old cliche is based on psychological truth that Dr. William James, who lived about 100 years ago from Harvard, that he developed, which he called the as-if principle. And what they discovered was that there are two things that change our state of mind, the mood that we're in, if you will. One of those is what's called your internal representations, basically the pictures in our mind of how the world is. Like, for example, if I say car, all of us, all your listeners are seeing a car in their head. You're seeing a picture of a car. Probably not the same car. That would be a bit odd, but we're all seeing a picture of a car. It's the way our brain works. That controls your mood. So that's a slower way to do it, but it's one of the ways to do it. For example, if somebody's in a bad mood and somebody comes up to them and says, well, just think happy thoughts, see happy pictures, or go to your happy place is what people will say today. Well, what do we want to do when that happens? We want to smack them because that doesn't work too well. So the second thing that Dr. James discovered that changes your mood, your state of mind, is your physiology or body language. And that's where the act as if or the fake it till you make it comes in. Because they discovered that those two, our physiology and our internal representations, are linked together through what's called a cybernetic loop. If you change one, you change the other. And so what Dr. James discovered was the quickest way to change our mood, to change our mind, to move us forward, is to act as if. So when we're dealing with procrastination, we have to act as if we're confident in the project. We have to act as if we know where we're headed. And we've all known those people who are very good at faking it. Well, guess what? They eventually make it because all of a sudden that changes them inside. It changes the pictures they see of themselves, changes the pictures they see in their mind of how the world is, and they begin to act towards that. They begin to move towards that. And there's those old thoughts from Napoleon Hill and some of the other great giants of personal development in terms of where you think about the most, you will go toward. And that's where the as-if principle takes that power. So if we stay in that now compartment, one bite at a time, if you will, and then we have that confidence by acting as if, by acting the way that confident person would act, by acting the way the person who would succeed at that project would act. And it sounds odd. It sounds funny, but it works. So I challenge your audience, give it a try. Don't trust me. Don't trust Dr. James. Give it a try and figure it out that it works yourself.
And I guess it's appropriate to always remember, never put off for tomorrow what can be done right now or today, because you kind of get into this endless feedback loop of, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. And, you know, tomorrow never comes.
Exactly. We are not even guaranteed of tomorrow. And so don't make your last day on earth your worst day. So Ogmandino used to talk about that if you begin to live each day as if it was your last day, how effective and how productive you would be. And it's kind of a gruesome thought, but think about it. What would we be doing if this was our last day and we knew it? What would we be doing? What would we be spending every hour of every day on? And if we did that every day, you can see how effective we would be. And so I think Mr. Medina was right, that if we take that into account and to begin to focus on what are the most important things right now, that makes us more effective. And I was one of my author friends, he likes to say that he focuses on two questions throughout the day. And he asks himself these two questions continuously throughout the day. The first question he asks himself is, what is the most important now? And the second question, and what's next? So what's the most important thing that I can do right this very moment? And after I get that done, what's next? And so he's only thinking two steps throughout the day. And those two steps have taken him tremendous strides, tremendous strides. And he's not only an author, as I mentioned, he's one of a great business manager. He manages a celebrity's career, and he does a fantastic job with both fronts by focusing on those two questions. And right there is as simple as it can get to conquering your procrastination.
Yeah. Hey, I just am reminded by a quote in the movie Breaker Morant. I don't know if you saw that. It was a great movie about English soldiers and Australian soldiers becoming the scapegoats. But in any event, that's not important. The thing that I remember, and I saw this movie 40 years ago, Breaker Morant, they're leading him off to the gallows or the firing squad. And his last quote was, "Live each day as if it would be your last, for one day you're sure to be right."
And, that is a good point. That is a very good point. And we're all being right at least one time in our life.
Yeah. Hey, exactly. And, it inspired me because whenever I get bitten by that procrastination bug, and it happens, to everyone. I think it is human nature,
it does.
You said, but I'll always go back to that quote, live every day as if it would be your last, because one day it's going to be your last. Not a pleasant thought necessarily to think about, but it's just the way it is. But we really need to always keep that in mind, that every day is a gift and it's precious. And I think if you do that, you will you'll not be in the situation where you're putting stuff off for tomorrow. It's a question of perspective, isn't it? Isn't it, Mark?
It is. A lot of it is perspective and choosing not to get stuck. As a writer, and as I have other writers who talk with me about their writing and so forth, is one thing that always comes up is about writer's block. I don't have a lot of writer's block. It's something that's that myth that you hear out there all the time, is because writer's block is caused by also by procrastination of not putting anything on the paper, if you will. Put anything down. May not be good, but at least it gives you a starting point. And so I don't think about like writer's block. I don't think about getting stuck in a project. I think about getting something down, even if it's terrible. You can learn from something that's terrible, and you're further down the road than if you were doing nothing, because you can always revamp. You can always revamp the project and always re-edit the book and so forth to make it better. And so blocking is what many times people think about. And when we think about, oh, I don't want to get in a block, whether it's a project block or a writer's block, guess what happens? Well, we get in that block, don't we?
Yeah.
Because we just put it in our head. It's like that old cliche of the pitcher who's struggling, and the manager goes out to the mound and says, well, whatever you do, don't throw the guy a curveball. Well, what's going in the pitcher's mind is he's winding up. Don't throw a curveball. Don't throw a curveball. Don't throw a curveball. Oh, yeah. Crap. I just threw a curveball. Because it's what went in his head the whole time. And one thing just popped in my head is something you may not know about me, Carrie, is I was a competitive tennis player for many, many years, and played high school tennis, college tennis, and up to the semi-pro level. And I'm thinking about one of the worst matches I ever played was during my college years. And I actually won more games, but lost the match. Now, some of those folks out there are not tennis fans are thinking, how do you do that? Well, because it's a set, you win 2 out of 3 sets. A set is 6 games. Win by 2. So I could win 6-1 and lose 7-5, 7-5, and I lose the match, win more games.
Yeah,
anyway, exactly. What happened was in that match, and it's still vivid in my mind, is I started pushing the ball instead of hitting it because I started getting afraid of making the mistake. And I think that's what happens with why we procrastinate. I started thinking not to lose instead of win. I started thinking, don't throw a curveball instead of hitting the ball. And it's made an impression on my life, even to this day, 25 years later, because of the impact I felt, you know, that sickening feeling when you walk off the court and you have to look at your coach and it's kind of like, yeah, I mean, and the coach is, what's he going to say? What are you going to say? Because you all know what just happened.
Yeah.
You pushed the ball and you chose not to win because you chose to try not to lose. And that's always disaster.
Yep. Hey, well, and not to get into gambling, but for gamblers, when they get to the point where they're just playing to break even, they're headed for financial ruin. And that's what it is. You have to play to win. You have to be in business to earn a profit, not just to look. It's all about having fun and enjoying it. But if you're not going to make a profit, then don't bother.
Exactly. It's my family owns a publishing company that deals primarily in the funeral industry. And I'm a sales expert, as you know, from writing Sales Success with Zig Ziglar and so forth. And so I teach a lot about sales. And I put something on social media in that industry on sales. And I had some funeral director from, I think he's from Great Britain, started combating with me and all this stuff. Go, oh, we don't want to sell. We can't sell. We're in the funeral. We don't sell anything. And I'm thinking, man, your business is going to go out of business very, very quickly if you don't think about selling, because he was thinking about not wanting to lose, because he was thinking about that he didn't want to feel bad about making a profit.
Yeah.
And think about that. If there's any business who's out there concerned that they are being seen, that they're making a profit, well, they might as well just close their doors right now. Because as you just mentioned, Carrie, it's all about making a profit. Can we serve while we make that profit? Absolutely. There's funeral industry, funeral directors. There's every industry in the world that serves. Disney, do they serve people? Yeah. But do they let you into Disney World for free? No. And it's you can do both. You can serve and make a profit at the same time. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I think that's the way the free enterprise system works.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. If you're not in it to make a profit, what the heck's the point of all this? Hey, let's get real here. It's important that you make a profit. That's why you do this. And you want to keep people employed. You want to help people. You can't do it by going broke. Especially your family's not going to appreciate it, and neither are your customers and your employees. You have an obligation to make a profit, and that's what it's about. So let's not forget about that. And hey, people want to find out more about you, Mark, about what you're doing, buy your book. Where do you go to do that?
Well, one of the best ways to find out about the books I've written, my seminars and so forth, and how to contact me is to go to www.markbowser.com. That's MarkBowser.com. And you can get my books in any place books are sold. One of the easiest places is probably without wanting to promote them too much is Amazon.com. You can just go to Amazon.com, do a search on me, and you'll find pretty much everything that's out there. And again, I appreciate you having me on, Carrie. And if I can ever be of service to you again, don't ever hesitate to let me know.
All right. And hey, if you got, like I said, any questions about this you want to address to Mark or myself or any other show that we've done, send an email kl@carrielutz.com. By the way, the Twitter feed, you can also tweet us, is @CarrieLutz, and the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Mark, it's really been great having you on. We're definitely going to talk to you again. Success is no accident. I think when you master yourself, you up your odds of success dramatically. In fact, the odds turn in your favor, and you can't fail even if you're trying. So thanks for coming on, and we will talk to you again soon, Mark.
Thanks, Carrie. Have a good day.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.